97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. I just wanted to mention this real quick. Small businesses, they are the backbone of our local communities, and right now they could use our help. Introducing 97.5 The Fanatic's Operation Shop Local. Our initiative is to set up to encourage gift card purchases from your local businesses and to highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. Business owners, go to 975thefanatic.com and list yours in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we are all in this together, from the Beasley Media Group and 975 The Fanatic. We got some takeout last night. I think about this all the time, and then I always forget. I like to give consumer tips, something I found that I like, something I didn't like. Maybe it'll help you out at some point. I went to, we got takeout from a place in Paoli called TJ's Every Day. I was on a date there like 7 years ago. Haven't been there since. We used to go there all the time after work, like 15 years ago. I almost won't go anywhere unless they have a short rib dish of some kind. They had some of the best short rib tacos I've ever had last night at TJ's Every Day in Paoli. Phenomenal. Short ribs is like all I eat, and it's the fattiest meat you can find. You know, it's like what Fred Flintstone eats. He eats the short rib part of the brontosaurus animal, whatever the hell that is, the brontosaurus burger. Yeah, that's all I eat is short ribs pretty much. Everywhere I go, there's a short rib dish, a short rib tacos, a short rib macaroni and cheese. Love me some short ribs. And last night, TJ's Every Day in Paoli did not disappoint. Phenomenal stuff. Came in here, was all bloated, even more than I am today because I ate 3 pints of Haagen-Dazs before I came in. So that happened. I wanted to get back to, before we get to Steve Callis from Callis Remarks at 11, at 10 after 10, the time capsule thing. If this thing goes on, let's just say, God forbid, well, there's the short term and then there's the long term. The short term is 6 months to a year. The long term is like 20 years. God forbid. My question was, if you could put one thing in a time capsule, one sports moment, one sports game, one sports happening, one sports memory that you can think of that you could bring back, you know, at the end of the 20 years or at the end of the short-term thing that goes on. Hopefully it will be short-term and we'll be back to business, you know, sometime in the summer. Mine was this from 2016. It was Jim Nance. It was Villanova in North Carolina, tied at 71 with a little over 4 seconds left.
They go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt. Jenkins gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
Notice I've been making an excuse to have Connor play that. Connor Thomas, our esteemed producer, by the way, behind the glass. We'll hear from him in a little bit. I can't get enough of that. It used to be my ringtone, but then I got a new phone. It crapped out. My computer at home, it needs to get fixed. That will be my ringtone again. I don't care if it was 2016. That was my moment of this decade. And there's been some good moments. But you know, the Phillies won in the previous decade, in 2008, the Eagles won in 2017, so that's one of my moments. Probably the Philly special call, except, unfortunately, Al Michaels, for lack of a better term, sucked that day. He decided to suck. He decided to suck on that day with Chris Collinsworth, because I thought Chris Collinsworth was great. I know people hate him, think he's against the Philadelphia teams. Al Michaels was terrible, and I love Al Michaels. He's an icon. I'll never forget the call. Do you believe in miracles? Back in 1980 in Lake Placid, he's done so many games, so many Monday night games. He's been phenomenal. He was horrible in the 2017 Super Bowl. So I can't even get excited about a call. And the Philly special started to go up. You know, he was starting to reach a crescendo, and then he goes down. I don't know what happened to Al Michaels in that game. The last play of the game, if you watch the last Hail Mary, it falls incomplete, and he says, and that one falls incomplete. And, that's it. That's it. That's the ball game. You just realized that, Al? I mean, you're doing the game. Everyone, 600 billion other people realized that that was the last play of the game. You're the last one to know it. Oh, he was terrible. So that's why I throw in. I've won three championships. My squads have since 2010. The Eagles in 2017, Villanova in 2016 and 18, and of course the great ending that was in 2016 with Chris Jenkins hitting that shot from Ryan Archer Diacono. Plays for the Bulls now. Connor, you wanted to throw in some of your time capsule moments.
Yeah, so I'm going to do my short-term one first. I'm going to save the long-term one for a little bit longer. So I was thinking something to hold us over while we were in this break from sports. And the one thing that I keep going back to, because it's such a moment, I have some sound for this one too, inspiring hope for the next 12 years for the Philadelphia Phillies. It's this one for me.
With the bases loaded and one out.
Oh my God.
Deep to right.
Nuggets against Cubs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cubs game, that was phenomenal.
And for me, that's like, I know there are other moments, but that's the introduction moment for Bryce Harper reaching his potential in Philadelphia. He's still got so much more to prove, but that's what I think back to when it's raining outside and there's no sports on and ESPN's doing ESPN The Ocho, doing like rock skipping, which is what they're doing now. That's what I pull back from my memory to get me through this.
That's good stuff. I love it, man. I get chills just hearing it. I was actually here that night when that happened. That was phenomenal. I was on the air with, was it Joe Torti? Someone, whoever it was, we listened to it and we had a good time talking about it. Apparently, my game, my 2016 game, my aunt says is on at 4 o'clock on CBS, so maybe I'll tape it and then I'll have it in my archives. I can listen to it and do my thing by myself. Steve Callis coming on in a couple minutes. Let's go to Scotty in Barrington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Scotty?
Brother Joe, long time no talk to you, man. What's going on?
How you doing, brother? What's going on?
Nothing much. Greg cooked me a nice some breakfast, and I'm just watch some movies, man. But like I said last night, we'll get through this.
Absolutely.
But we'll definitely get through this. We've gone through things before, United States of America, and we'll pull through this against especially Eagles.
We always do.
Sports Nation.
Always
yes,
do.
Yes, sir. Love you, man. Joy talking to you. Now, does it have to be in the recent decade, or can it be from back in the day?
It can be from back in the day, brother, whatever you think.
My mind goes back to, I'm going to share what I shared with Sister D. Line, Mom, Sixers 83 championship team. We never saw Maurice Cheeks dunk. You know where I'm going with this, Brother Joe? Maybe a little older than you, but you being a sports guru in your position.
Oh, I remember it.
Ran
I
down
remember
the court
watching
and dunk.
It live. I was at my grandmother's watching him go down the court to dunk. I remember it.
Oh, my God, Brother Joe, man. And we never saw Cheeks so emotioned. And we never saw him dunk up until then, if I'm every jersey correct. But my mind just takes me back to that. And also, if I may add another one, if I can cheat, the great Julius Erving. You know where I'm going with this? Cooper had to duck his head.
Had to duck his head when he's cradled it and dunked over him.
And you just heard the announcer, the doctor goes way back. But those two memories right there, man.
That's great stuff, man. Bringing me back.
But, Brother Joe, that's all I had to add. Once again, Philadelphia Nation, the world, we'll get through this. And love you, Brother Joe. Peace and God bless to you and your wife. And I'm out, man.
Loved you, Scotty. I know you friended my wife last night. She loves you. She's a friend of yours now on Facebook, so you can talk to her through that. You can talk to me on the air. Let's go now to Steve Callis. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast. Steven, how are you? I know we talked to you last night. We covered the NFC East. How you doing today, my friend?
All good, Joe. Good to be with you, as always.
You too. All right, let's cover some other things. We talked about Eagles free agency, and you and I are on the same page. I don't think they're as good as they were when it began. We shall see. They still have the draft, whenever that may be. But the other big story that has occupied ESPN and the airwaves, since this whole COVID-19 thing happened, the GOAT has left the building. He has left Patriot one or whatever one Patriot place is, and he's now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. I thought that was interesting how quickly it happened. I think he knew all along that's where he wanted to go. Why do you think the separation? Do you think that there was any way he still could have gone back to New England, or do you think it's because of Bill Belichick and they kind of disrespected him, didn't want to give him the money he wanted? And not only that, but never were, you know, Bill Belichick's not really a warm and fuzzy guy.
I think Belichick's plan a few years ago was he thought Brady, like virtually every other quarterback in history, would be bad at, you know, 38, 39, 40. He got Jimmy Garoppolo. He developed him. He looked like the guy. And then Brady was still Brady. So he gave away Garoppolo for a number two draft pick. And now I think he thinks at 42, 43, 44 for a two-year deal, he just doesn't want to make that gamble. I think he lowballed him a little bit. But I think this is more Belichick being like he's been with like every other player in the history of the Patriots is in there. And so I think that's what's happening. And they just couldn't come to an agreement. But I think part of it has to be that Belichick did think that Brady has fallen off a little, coupled with the fact it looks to me like he certainly hasn't gotten any weapons, offensive weapons.
No,
I don't know what the Patriots.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're going to do. So they're looking like a pretty bad team. And I think we maybe mentioned last night, the day before Brady said he was going to Tampa Bay, both Van Noy and Jamie Collins went somewhere else. That's two of the cogs in their stupendous defense. And now they have an excellent secondary, but you know, they're not, their front seven is not that good. So they have very few weapons. They have Edelman and who else? Maybe they have a running game if all these guys come back. But I think Brady thinks he has a better chance to win this year. You know, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard. When has he had receivers like that? You might have to go back to the Randy Moss days, maybe.
Sure.
And as you know, they also, the Bucs have a very good, excellent run defense, 73 yards a game given up last year. That's incredible. So I think he thinks they have a better chance to win. And oh, by the way, he won't have to play the Chiefs or the Ravens until the Super Bowl,
yeah,
if he can get there.
He stays out of that division. He's got to play the Falcons, the Saints twice, the Panthers twice.
Yeah.
And the Saints are getting a little old. I know they picked up Emmanuel Sanders, who will be a nice tandem with Michael Thomas. Falcons picked up Todd Gurley. But Brady decides to go to Tampa. How long do you think it will take for him to get the offense down and look like Tom Brady, the Tom Brady we know?
I think it's going to be pretty quick. You know, I always think you need a year to adjust to these things. I don't think Tom Brady wants to wait a year. And if there's one guy who can adjust very quickly, it's got to be Tom Brady. And again, he's throwing to a group of wide receivers, two wide receivers and a tight end, where he hasn't had this much talent in forever.
Been a long time. Been certainly a long time. I am excited to see what he does in Tampa. I like his deal. There's a no trade. There's a no franchise tag clause. We'll see what he does after 2 years. He's always said he's wanted to play till 45. That's three more years.
Yeah.
We'll see what he does in his next two. He could be problems for the NFC South. I think that's the division now you might have to look at, and
yeah,
the division you have to beat. Because the Saints are going to be pretty good again, and the Falcons, Todd Gurley. Now, this was, to me, this wasn't quite Markelle Fultz, but it was bizarre that Todd Gurley gets that big contract and kind of falls. He didn't have an awful year last year. He can still play a little bit, but he's not the Todd Gurley he was when the Rams signed him. He didn't play all that well in the Super Bowl. What has happened to Todd Gurley?
I think he's got a lingering knee injury that comes and goes. He's only 25. I don't know if it's a chronic thing, but you could almost make a guess that it was. The Falcons might be able to help him, a change of scenery. It got pretty bad, in my mind, it got pretty bad in the Rams. And, you know, they didn't even make the playoffs last year after they were going to win the Super Bowl the year before, but that didn't work out either. So I think it's more of an injury. You know, he went to college at Georgia, so he's kind of going home.
Sure.
But his stats are incredible. And if he's healthy, big if, I think he's a big boon for the Falcons. If I could just give you a couple more on Tom Brady quickly.
Yeah, please.
Chris Godwin wears number 12. And Chris Godwin, 1,000-yard receiver, second to Mike Evans, but those two guys are killers. And he said, I'll give my number to Tom Brady out of respect.
Which he should.
Which is a good way to start.
Yep.
But the other stat that I saw today on ESPN, Tom Brady last year, where everyone said, oh, he had a down year, he really didn't play that well. They compared his yards per attempt to, or distance per attempt, I think, to Jameis Winston's. He had nobody to throw to last year. This year he does. But last season, he had a 41% completion percentage on tight window throws 20 or more yards downfield, and that was tied for first in the NFL. So if you can make those kinds of passes, seems to me he's still pretty good, and I think he's going to have a really good offensive year this year. We'll see how good the Bucs defense is, and I mean at that very high level playing the Saints and others.
And you would think that Bill Belichick, of all people, would have a backup plan. He did have a backup plan at one point. It was Jimmy Garoppolo, and he was forced to trade him. Now he's got a guy named Jared Stidham, had an off the hook preseason last year, but came in one game in a blowout game, threw a pick six. We remember that game against against the Dolphins. I don't know, and they have Cody Kessler as well. I mean, are they planning on bringing in a guy? And they also lost Jamie Collins, a linebacker, goes to Detroit. Kyle Van Noy goes to Miami. They're not. I mean, they're losing players, and I'm looking at guys they brought in. Bo Allen, former seventh round pick. Are you serious? I know they re-signed Devin McCourty, but I'm not looking at a lot of influx of talent, and I'm looking at a lot of talent kind of on the exodus side.
Yeah, I don't know if they could rebound. I don't know. Is this a rebuild for Bill Belichick? Remember he said, I'd never be Marv Levy? He'd never coach till 70?
Yeah.
Well, he's about to be Marv Levy, I think. So it kind of bizarre to me, although they're very high on Stidham, apparently. It just seems very hard to me that they're going to be really good. And as you talked before, the Bills are getting better. The Jets are getting better. Everybody see Miami's getting better. This guy, you know, he might have turned it around in 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
They've made some good, I don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but they've picked up some good players as well. So I think it's going to be hard for the Patriots, and I don't think I've said this in 20 years, to win their division next year. But, you know, Bill Belichick always tries to pull something out of his hat. Maybe Stidham is great. I don't know. But I think we're going to find out, because I can't believe he's going to start with Cody Kessler.
No, he's definitely not going to do that. I can guarantee you that right now. One more thing before I get to Rick Pitino, because I need someone to explain to me, first of all, how Bill O'Brien has a job after blowing a 24-point lead to anybody. I don't care who it was. Not only that, they got beat by 20 to the Chiefs, but they give up DeAndre Hopkins to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a couple picks, and they also sent a fourth-round pick over with Hopkins to the Cardinals. The word behind the scenes is that Bill O'Brien said the last time he's had a meeting like this with a guy, it was Aaron Hernandez, and he doesn't like the baby mamas that DeAndre Hopkins brings around. Sounds like he's making excuses. This guy's one of the best receivers in the league, and Deshaun Watson, I'm sure, is not real thrilled about this right now.
Yeah, well, David Johnson's a real good player, but you're right. To lose DeAndre Hopkins strikes me as just stupid. And I'll say what I said last night when we were talking about Matt Patricia. These Belichick guys seem to think they're Belichick, and they grew up in the Patriot way, which is kind of, if Belichick wants you to go, you're gone. And it's as close to a my way or the highway. You know, there's that famous story about Vince Lombardi when a guy came in for the first time in the 60s with an agent and sat in Vince Lombardi's room to negotiate a contract. And Vince Lombardi said, excuse me for a minute, I just got to go down the hall for a sec. And he came back and said, you've been traded. That's a true story. I don't know the player's name, but that's a true story. But that, you know, that was when it was a total my way of the highway league.
Yeah.
So Belichick is the one guy, I think, who's been able. Coughlin was kind of like that too, but he's been gone for a while now. Belichick is the one guy who could do it. And I don't know if all of these guys, Matt Patricia, Bill O'Brien, if they think they can be Belichick, because obviously they can't be. So for Patricia to give up on a star player, for O'Brien to give up on a star player, and not really get a whole lot of them, although I do think David Johnson, if healthy, is really good.
Yes.
I think that's what the problem is, and I agree with you. I don't know how Bill O'Brien has a job still.
Don't get it myself.
And one other thing on a totally separate thing before Pitino.
Sure.
I just want you to know, I don't know if you saw this, they put the top 10 NCAA basketball moments of history on yesterday, I think, on ESPN, and the Jenkins jumper was number one.
I did see it. I did see it. Yeah, no, I saw it because I watched ESPN like nine times, and they kept showing it, and I kept watching it. Leitner was number four. I thought he'd be a little higher, but
me too.
I wasn't sure where they would put the Survive in Advance, NC State. They put it number two, which was interesting. And again, I watched Survive in Advance like three times because nothing else to watch right now. But let's turn to basketball since we're talking about it right now. Rick Pitino, Hall of Fame coach. He's won championships in two different places and two of the biggest rivals you'll ever find, Kentucky and Louisville. One has been vacated since. He's not having sex with people anymore on tables. He's coached in Greece for the last two years. And now all of a sudden he comes back to a little school, a little Catholic school like Iona, the Gaels. Talk to me about this.
Just kind of bizarre. Look, Tim Clouse had done a great job there. He had won four MAC titles in a row. He's a lifer, a New York lifer, a basketball lifer. And he was sick last year and didn't coach. They went like 12-17. And there must have been some conversations back and forth because you probably know that he retired on Clouse, resigned on a Friday, and the next day, Pitino was signed. So you know there was a lot going on behind the scenes. Look, this guy, you know, what's he doing there? He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's got a not great past both off the court, as you alluded to, and on the court with all the Louisville violations.
Sure.
The thing that gets me, and just so you know, I have a 10-minute video up at WestchesterCountyPost.com on the homepage with Anthony Sorbellini, who's our intern, but he's an Iona grad student in sports journalism and sports photography. So he really has an interesting take as an Iona student. I think people are pleasantly surprised. I just don't know if everybody knows the history. And the final thing, so we have a good video up there, but the final interesting thing to me is, so Pitino got fired in October of 2017. That's only 2.5 years ago. That NCAA, this was for the pay-for-play stuff, and where allegedly one of his recruits had been paid, promised $100,000 and paid something. They haven't come down with punishment for either Louisville and maybe Pitino, and I can't believe he's not going to at least get suspended, although the AD of Iona made a statement. We don't think that's going to be a problem. Well, for what it's worth, I do. But maybe they think he's only going to get like five games and it'll just be the beginning of the season. But Pitino seems to me out of place there. He signed a 5-year, I think $1 million a year. They said he was making less than Clouse, who was making $1.1 million.
Wow.
But I think if he goes 24-6 this year, I can't believe he'll be at Iona next year. And you know, he's a great recruiter and he's a great coach and he's got connections all over the country. And you know his history, Knicks, Celtics, it wasn't just college. He didn't do as well, obviously,
sure,
in the pros.
Right.
So we'll just have to see what happens. It looks a little odd, Catholic school hiring Rick Pitino. but, you know, winning is winning. You don't forget, he said, oh, I'm done coaching. When he left Louisville, he said, I'm never going to coach again.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Greece for 2 years, and now he's back in at Iona College. So it's a weird, interesting signing. But I don't think anyone has any doubt that he's going to do well. Because he's Rick Pitino.
Yeah, it's like Raleigh Massimino winning a title and going down and coaching some small school in Florida. I mean, these guys that like to coach.
They're lifers.
They're lifers. That's what they are. You know,
great
stuff, buddy. You mentioned you're the sports editor of WestchesterCountyPost.com. You also have, speaking of sports, your Facebook group page. What do you got on there right now? What do you got going on? What can we look at?
Well, we had put up a couple of things, including the Rick Pitino video. I did another one that's going to be up in a few days with my boss, Janelle Albritton, because it was like a health and wellness thing, a sports and wellness thing, talking about what's going to happen to these seniors. So you know what they said already, all the spring players, baseball, softball, and all the spring sports, they're going to get another year of eligibility. I took the position the basketball players, men and women's, and all the other winter sports, if they didn't play their conference championship and there was no NCAA March Madness, why shouldn't they get another year of eligibility? Because I looked up Iona College just because that's where we taped this and our intern is from Iona. Their baseball team had already played 16 games.
Wow.
So it's not like the season didn't start for these kids. I mean, it's a sad ending. And to me, it's just that the basketball players and all the other winter sports had played a little more, but they didn't have conference tournaments and they didn't have the biggest of big, right? March Madness.
Right.
So
we
took the position that that's going to happen. We have a couple of written articles, one by Anthony as the student at Iona, one by me that's up there at WestchesterCountyPost.com. thecountypost.com. You got to go to the sports section for those two. But we're also going to have a video up in a few days. But the Patino thing I found fascinating, and it just seems weird. There's some behind the scenes relationships and stuff like that, but that's how it works, right? It's who you know.
Who you know. Great stuff, Stephen. I appreciate it. As always, keep up the good work. We'll catch up with you soon. Have a great day. I'd say enjoy the games, but there are no games. So enjoy whatever the hell you're going to do today, Steve, because I know you're Mr. Games. There's never been a frame of video you haven't seen. But so I don't know what you're doing these days. But we'll catch up with you soon. I appreciate it, pal.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
You too, Steve. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. We've got to take another break. Wow, we're a little late, but I love hearing from Steve. He had a lot of good things to say. Rick Pitino still finding work in the NCAA. Unbelievable. I'm Joe Stazak, 97.5, the Fanatic. Time capsule. What's your time capsule? We got Bryce Harper's Grand Slam from Connor Thomas. We have Chris Jenkins hitting the winning basket against Carolina in 2016. If this thing goes on for a long time, put a play, put a memory, put a moment in a time capsule that you can open up someday down the road when this thing is over, and what will it be? Give us a call, 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasak. We are coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we're back. 10:32, 97.5, the Fanatic. I'm here till 12 o'clock. Who's up then, Connor? D line him up then, or Tyler Zuli? D and then Tyler after that? Tyler and Pat, I think, right today, right? The dynamic duo. Am I right about that? All right. We got a good lineup. Good lineup. All right. By the way, my Aunt Marie chimes in. She's an avid listener and a huge Eagles fan. She lives down in Naples. She's a little lonely these days. My mom passed away a couple weeks ago, and my dad's up here now for a couple months. But I've been crying like a little girl about not having the 2016 game on tape anymore. She says, you can catch the 2016 game today at 4 o'clock on CBS. They'll be broadcasting games, older finals during the next few weeks. So far, we have found the 2016 game scheduled today at 4 p.m. and the 85 game scheduled for, that would be next Sunday at 1 o'clock. Still looking for the one from 3:18. That was probably the lesser of the exciting games where they just blew out Michigan. But they certainly had their time with Kansas in the Final Four, in the national semifinal game to get there. They had a 22-4 lead right away. Bill Self even said afterwards, he's like, we were done. I mean, they just kept hitting threes. And then, of course, we have my man Dante DiVincenzo knocking down threes, 31 points in the game, MVP, and he's off to Milwaukee making some money there. But anyway, we can catch the you can catch the 2016 game today at 4. I know I will, next Sunday, 1 o'clock, the 1985 game, if you're a Villanova fan, which I certainly am. All right, 610-632-0975. Talked a little bit about Tom Brady and the Patriots, because they are the other big story going on right now, the other national story, other than the Eagles, if we can kind of break outside our little shell and talk about some other goings on. We talked about Melvin Gordon. We talked about DeAndre Hopkins. But, of course, the GOAT is now in Tampa Bay. And to talk about that a little bit more, this is Steve Callis' son, Johnny Callis. He is not part of any publication, but he knows more about the New England Patriots than anyone I've ever talked to. And he's on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. Johnny, what's up, man?
No, not too much, man. How are you doing? You hanging in there?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you doing? You lost the GOATs. I know you got your 6 rings, so you're okay there for a while. But I know once you keep winning, you want to keep winning, and it's not good enough until you win the next ring. But Brady's no longer there. How did that happen?
You know, Joe, it is tough. I have to say, from a purely football standpoint, I think it's fascinating. I think Tampa Bay is so intriguing, obviously, with the weapons they have on offense. And they have a very underrated defense. They were 5th in DVOA last year, best run defense in the league, NFL sack leader. So I think it's a really – they also had a quarterback who threw 30 interceptions, so that's not going to help your defense at all. So I think it's a fascinating place for Brady. In terms of how it happened, Brady has said two things consistently over the last 3 years, I'd say. He wants to win, and he wants to play until he's 45. And I always thought that second part would really be the hiccup between him and Belichick, that Belichick would not want to commit long-term to him. That might have been the case, But I think Brady also looked at the Patriots, looked at what they were last year, and just came to the conclusion that this wasn't the best place for him to win. I mean, if you look at after the first day of legal tampering on Monday when he went over to Kraft's house to tell him, they made absolutely no improvements on offense. They lost two of their three best defensive players in their front seven in Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy.
Yep.
They re-signed some guys, but they didn't get any better. He sees Stephon Diggs, who has publicly talked about wanting to go to New England, get traded to the Buffalo Bills, only making them better. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins would be a stretch for the Patriots to get, but he sees them go to the Cardinals. What did Belichick do to help him at all? So I think he came to the conclusion that, you know what, Tampa Bay is probably the best fit. And I'll just say one more thing. I think it's a really interesting question. I think there's a lot of reasons to believe Brady probably thought this all along. But the other team that would have made a great fit is the Tennessee Titans. And you just wonder why not announce this earlier that he was leaving. Maybe he had behind closed doors discussions somehow with the Titans and found out they just didn't really want him. But I do think he would have come out publicly a little bit earlier than after the first day of tampering if it was a decision that Belichick couldn't influence at all by getting him better weapons. So obviously disappointed as a Patriots fan because it undoubtedly makes them worse. But from a football standpoint, I think it's going to make for a fascinating year. Hopefully we'll be playing, come September.
Well, the Titans obviously, for some reason, like Ryan Tannehill. He's kind of resurrected his career in 4 years, $118 million, 62 guaranteed. Why do you think they went in that direction and didn't push harder for Brady?
I really don't know, because you look at their playoff run. Ryan Tannehill obviously was great during the regular season against, frankly, a pretty below average schedule. But I don't see how, based on what he did in the playoffs, he gets you to the next level, and their next level is getting to the Super Bowl. So I understand in terms of playing for it all the long term, but I'd be lying if I said Tom Brady's your guy. But in a team that can win now with the weapons they have, it is a little surprising to me that they wouldn't go for someone like Brady, because he seems to be the guy that could get you over the hump. So that's a bit of a mystery to me. Like I said, I know Tannehill played well, but you're talking about a guy who had what, Joe, 150, 175 yards in his first two playoff games against New England and then against Baltimore.
Yep.
I mean, that's Derrick Henry's show.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit surprising. I think one other, thing about the Bucs that's more attractive, as I think, Steve said earlier, is that they don't play in the AFC, and you don't have to go through Mahomes and Jackson, who I think the NFC is still deeper as a conference, but the AFC, I think, undoubtedly has, frankly, probably the two best teams in the Chiefs and the Ravens if they can continue what they did. So that could be another reason Brady wanted to go down to Tampa Bay.
Where would you put Tampa right now? I talked about Tampa yesterday in terms of the NFC East. I put the Eagles about five or six. I'm not really sold on the Eagles yet until I see what they do in the draft and see how they finish up free agency. I think they're not quite as good as they were when free agency began. And I don't think they were all that great last year. I know they had tons of injuries, but now you have New Orleans, who got knocked off by Minnesota. Of course, Minnesota doesn't have Stephon Diggs now, but those were two of the better teams in the NFC. You have San Francisco, obviously, going to a Super Bowl. Green Bay, I'm not sold on Green Bay, but they can make some noise. Where do you put Tampa Bay now that Tom Brady is there in terms of rankings in the NFC?
Look, I think they're definitely a playoff team, especially, and I think it's supposed to go into effect. There's an additional wild card team. I think Brady has his toughest, this isn't saying much, but his toughest division, opposition that he's had in a very long time coming out of the AFC East. And now the Saints are getting a little older, I believe, as you said, but they're still obviously going to be in contention to win the division next year. So that's going to be a little bit more difficult. But I think, you can make the argument, if this goes relatively seamless, which without OTAs and everything might be a bit of a question mark, but if there's someone who can do it, it's Brady, that they'll be as competitive as anyone. I'd be lying if I said I watched the Bucs a lot last year, but I did hear that they went 7-9. Seven of their losses were within one score, and Winston threw something like 18 interceptions in those losses. I mean, that's a huge opportunity to make up ground, not even by having an explosive guy like Brady, but just someone who doesn't turn the ball over. I think they need to address their tackle position, which they can do with the 14th pick in the draft. I think they need to try and get a little bit more secondary help. Ironically enough, the guy who, as of last night at least, the guy who had a pick six in Brady's last throw as a Patriot, Logan Ryan, is still out there. That'd be fascinating if the Buccaneers could find a way to get him. I think obviously that'd be a great fit. He's a very good cornerback. And in terms from an offensive weapon standpoint, except for a tackle, I don't know what else you need. Maybe somehow Brady convinces, I don't know why Belichick would do this, to do a trade for Julian Edelman. I mean, if the Patriots are going into a rebuild, there's no reason for Edelman to be there. The Patriots, in terms of what they're doing, is another story. But I think if you address that tackle position, get another good player in the secondary, there's no reason the Bucs can't be as competitive as anyone and have a real shot to even go to the Super Bowl next year. I think that's very much a possibility.
Jared Stidham, Cody Kessler, tell me someone else is coming in there to compete for that job. And do they look at Jameis Winston at all? I wouldn't touch him with a 50-foot pole because he's a walking turnover. But what are the Patriots, what do you think they're going to do? Do they like Jared Stidham enough? Do they think he's the guy, the heir apparent?
It's a great question, and I think they think he might be the guy. The question is, as you mentioned, he had a very good preseason last year. He threw a pick six really in his only serious game action during the regular season. He does have, based on the preseason, a connection with at least Jacoby Myers, who is an undrafted receiver that they like. It remains to be seen with N'Keal Harry what's going to happen, who is wildly inconsistent in his time. I think they'd like to go with Stidham, but I think in an ideal world, you would have had Brady back for two more years. I don't know why Belichick wasn't more aggressive in that, or maybe he wasn't. Brady just didn't want to go. And then you turn it over to Stidham after a couple more years of development. You could see a guy, Brian Hoyer, just went on the free agent. He was cut by the Colts. I don't really see Brian Hoyer going into that offense and being any better than Jared Stidham would be, hopefully, assuming Jared Stidham actually has a future. A guy like Jacoby Brissett, who's still on the Colts roster, has a little bit more recent starting experience. And, yeah, can you get a guy like Jameis Winston or, dare I say, Cam Newton somehow for a, you know, one-year relatively low cost? The Patriots don't have much cap room, which is a big problem in all this. So do you try them out on a one-year deal? I think they're probably leaning more towards Stidham. Jameis Winston, look, he was incredibly explosive. You think, well, if you can get the interceptions down, this guy really does have a future. But he did that 5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns with one of the best offensive weapons in the league. New England hasn't made any improvements on offense. I think they might have signed a, you know, kind of low option slot receiver. But they've made absolutely no improvements on offense. It's hard to see how anybody goes into that position and succeeds at all.
Incredible stuff. Johnny, great stuff as usual, man. Good luck to your Patriots. We'll keep an eye on Tom Brady. I know you'll probably still be rooting for him, even though he's in a different uniform this year. Thanks again, John. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Joe. Stay safe now. Thank you.
You too, pal. Stay safe yourself. Stay healthy. We've got to take a break. I'm Joe Stazak. Marcus Hayes coming up at 11 and 10. That was Johnny Callis giving us the lowdown on the Pats and Tom Brady. I think it's a fascinating story. We can talk about that more on the other side. And, of course, we'll talk more about Howie Roseman and what he plans to do in the upcoming draft. I'm Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. This weekend's programming is brought to you by Cars for Kids. That's Cars with a K. Donate your car today with 1-877 Cars for Kids, a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. You'll also receive a vacation voucher of 3 days and 2 nights. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or visit carsforkids.org. That's Cars, K-A-R-S, of course, with a K. All right, we're back. Had some great stuff talking about Tom Brady, talking about the Patriots and what they're doing, because that is the other huge story this week. We can get back to the Eagles if you would like, but I think it's going to be fascinating watching Brady play for Tampa with Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard and Mike Evans, who is like one of the most underrated receivers in football. And now that they are without James, I mean, talk about addition by subtraction, without Jameis Winston. People say, yeah, if he can get his turnovers down, he'd be a good quarterback. Yeah, but he can't. He was that way in college. He had so many comeback victories in college. Why? Because his team was down 21 points at the half because he had thrown 4 picks in the first half. Check the Wake Forest game out. Check the Miami game out. his freshman year. I know he won the championship, got lucky against Auburn, did a nice job, fine, Heisman Trophy winner, kind of a knucklehead, you know, doing stupid stuff in the cafeteria, and just, you know, he's kind of a knucklehead. 33 touchdowns, not bad. 30 interceptions. Think about that. 30 interceptions. I don't know where he's going to end up. I don't know who's going to touch Jameis Winston. I mean, there are teams that need some quarterbacks out there with some, I guess, a little cachet. He's got a little cachet. If someone thinks they can cut down those turnovers, yeah, there's always a coach out there that thinks that they can work with them and will cut down those turnovers. The guy's been a walking turnover since Florida State. 30 interceptions this year. I know he threw for 5,000 yards. 30 interceptions. Where does he end up? You think Belichick's going to put up with that, considering how turnovers are killers in ball games, and they killed Tampa Bay last year? Brady doesn't throw a ton of picks. I think it's going to be interesting. I think he's going to get along very well with Bruce Arians, and he's going to run that offense and pick up that offense very quickly. And it's going to be his team right away, and I think they are going to be one of the teams to beat in the NFC behind San Francisco. Behind San Francisco, I mean, who else are we talking about? New Orleans? I mean, Drew Brees is 42 years old. I know they picked up Emmanuel Sanders. Nice pickup to go along with Michael Thomas. Now there's a 1-2 punch there. They still have Alvin Kamara. Okay, nice offense. They couldn't win a home playoff game last year, just like they couldn't win the NFC title game the year before, call or no call. They got jobbed this year again, too, on the Kyle Rudolph play. Talk about an interference call. That was so much worse than the call against George Kittle in the Super Bowl at the end of the first half. It was so much worse, and it wasn't called. I mean, Sean Payton's got to be beside himself. Unfortunately, he has the coronavirus, so certainly our best goes out to Sean Payton. And hopefully we can keep that contained and it won't become a thing in the NFL. The NFL is, it's the last great hope. If you're asking me, it's the last great hope. I have no confidence I'm going to see hockey again this year. No confidence I'm going to see the NBA again this year. March Madness has already gone out the window. I believe baseball will happen probably mid-summer. I don't know how they're going to work that. It's going to be a very shortened season, shortened playoffs, which it should be anyway. There's way too many games. There's way too many games. Ridiculous. 162 games. I know baseball lifers, you know, love it. 162. It's way too many games. You're going to see a decent season. It's like the NHL in 1995 when they played 49 games. The Flyers went to the conference finals against the Devils. That's the year that LeClaire and Gilbert Dion came in with the trade for Mark Recchi on February 9th, 1995, and they got it together and made it to the conference finals that year, a quick hit. That was great. That was tremendous. 50 games was fine. Plenty. That's why I do miss it. I miss it terribly. But the regular season to me doesn't do a whole lot for me. I watch it because better than watching more Forensic Files. But it's a regular season. I like to watch the Sixers because they're a train wreck. I like to watch the Flyers because they're good. I like to watch them both for different reasons. I do miss them. But the regular season is way too long. And when you get to the playoffs and watch the different level of play in the NBA playoffs and in the NHL especially, you're like, the hell was I doing watching regular season, getting excited about that? That was dreck compared to this. The difference in play in the postseason in the NHL is night and day. Night and day. Even more than the other sports. Night and day. That's what I'm going to miss the most outside of March Madness is going to be playoff hockey. Even when the Flyers aren't in it, I live for playoff hockey. Give me late night games in Anaheim, in San Jose. Give me overtime games with Chicago and the Avalanche. And I can't get enough. Couldn't get enough last year when St. Louis made their run. Took them all. Took Anaheim to 6. Took Boston to 7. Won on Boston ice, which was a beautiful thing. You got former goon Craig Berube hoisting the cup. You got the microphones hot, everyone dropping F-bombs. How ridiculous that was. Great stuff. I'm going to miss it terribly. I know all of you are as well. Marcus Hayes coming up at 11:10, and we'll talk about the time capsule a little bit more on the other side. I want to talk about Howie Roseman and his ability or inability to be effective in free agency. I'm Joe Stasak. Come right back.